Esta es su hermana Judy Sánchez aquí para servirle, aleluya, con mi esposo Alberto Sánchez y el evangelista Wilson Ramos, aleluya, que lo tenemos como un invitado especial.
Dios le bendiga.
Dios es grande, le pasamos la parte a mi hermano Wilson, aleluya.
God bless you. I just want to share what the Lord has imparted into my spirit, and I pray that this word would go forth with anointing and power, and that it would empower someone today, because there's someone that God wants to speak to. You're out there right now and God has you in mind. And if this message reaches you, it's because God is concerned about you. It's because your situation is on God's mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:5, he said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you."
Aleluya. Dice Isaías 43:5, dice, para la gloria de Dios, no temas, porque yo estoy contigo.
Today I want to speak to you about fear. I want to share with you a biblical perspective about fear. What does God say about fear? It's important that we as children of God understand how to navigate the waters called fear. The Bible speaks about fear over 500 times. So it's a topic that God wants us as children of God to know about and to understand. Fear in and of itself, it's not a bad thing. Fear is not evil. Fear is a God-given emotion that God has hardwired into humanity. He's hardwired it into us and allowed us to experience this emotion called fear. God has given us fear to protect us. It's fight or flight. When we sense danger, something happens in our life, it causes us to react. It causes us to either run away from danger or to confront and defend ourselves. This is why God has given us fear. And over and over and over again in the Word of God, we are commanded by God Almighty to fear not, to not be afraid, to not be dismayed, to be anxious for nothing. And above all, he tells us, trust in the Lord. We are commanded in the Bible to fear God above all things. Fear is not a bad thing. Fear is not evil. Fear only becomes a bad thing when fear begins to dominate our life, when fear begins to dominate our thought life, when fear begins to control our actions, or when we don't react because of fear, we don't do things, we hold back from doing what God wants us to do. When that happens, then fear is taking control of our life, and it now transitions from something that God has given us as part of our human makeup into something that is not a good thing. In my research, I found over 400 different medical scientific diagnoses on phobias. Different fears that grip people and take hold of them and paralyze them. And these are people who have been captured and imprisoned by fear. And God has sent me today to tell you that there is a way out. That there is a man called Jesus Christ who he has the ability, he has the power to speak into your situation. He has the authority to heal even an emotional disorder, even a phobia that doctors have diagnosed you with. It's not to minimize the medical profession. God has given us medical science. He has given us psychiatrists and medications, and all of those things in and of themselves are a blessing and they are good. But what I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to tell you that God can heal you. I'm here to tell you that you don't have to settle for that condition that you have been labeled with. That there is hope, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. If you put your trust in Him today, God is able to take your situation and turn it around for good. Satan will use fear to bring terror into our lives. It's a weapon that he uses. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it in the full." Another version, the Amplified Bible, says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. And I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance." You need to understand that Satan, he wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your hope. And he wants to destroy your faith and your trust in God. It's fear that gives birth to worry. And if you look at worry and the definition of the word worry, a synonym of the word worry is the word torture. The enemy will use fear to torture your mind, to torture your thought life, to make you feel like there's no hope. But I'm here to tell you that the devil is a liar and that we serve a God of hope and that God is able to speak into your situation, and he only requires one thing from you. And that one thing is that you would believe, that you would trust him, that you would seek him, and that you would turn to him. And he is able to speak into your situation.
Hallelujah.
God wants you to know that there is abundance. He wants you to experience the full abundant life that he has for you. This show is called Divine Design. God wants you to discover yours. He wants you to discover the reason you were created. He wants you to discover the reason that he is, has you hearing this message right now. Because this is not a coincidence. The fact that you are hearing this word over the radio, it is a divine appointment with God. And God is speaking to you right now. God is speaking into your situation. And he wants you to know that there is hope. That there is hope, and that your situation, no matter what it may be, I don't know what it might be. It might be a mental illness, or it might be a physical sickness. You may be stricken with cancer, or have an incurable disease like AIDS. But God is saying there is still hope. He is the God of hope. He is the hope that we have of eternal life. And it's not just for the future. It's not just for in heaven with eternal life. There is hope now. Healing is still here. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God wants you to know that your situation is not hopeless if you put your trust in him. In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22, this was the story when Jesus fed the 5,000. He had just finished ministering to them, and he sent them off, and he also sent his disciples, and he told them, go to the other side, and that he would meet them there. And while they were on the water, he began his trip to them. And in about the 3 o'clock in the morning, they saw a figure walking towards them on the water. They began to scream, and the Bible says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It is a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come out to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. But this is the key verse that I want you to remember in your heart. Verse 30. But when he saw the winds, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? We need to understand that when Jesus stepped out of the boat, when Peter stepped out of the boat to meet Christ, he was standing on the Lord's word. He was standing on the promise of God. His trust was so ingrained in Christ, and his hope was so secure in the Lord, that he was able to step outside of a natural situation. And he took a natural situation and he stepped from the natural into the supernatural. And he stepped out of a boat and he stepped onto water as if it was dry land. And he walked on the water. And it wasn't until his human understanding looked around him and he sensed the wind and the waves and everything coming at him. And his understanding and his logic said to him, this should be impossible for me. I should not be able to walk on this water. Men cannot do this. And doubt came into his heart because he was afraid. Fear is the doorway that will bring doubt. And doubt is the thing that will cancel out your faith. You have to believe God. You have to trust Him. And faith is something that you have to build and develop. It doesn't happen overnight. But as you fill yourself with the Word of God, as you draw nearer to God, God will draw nearer to you. As you fill yourself with His Word, your faith will increase. It's like a muscle. As you work it out, your muscles get stronger. They get bigger. You get faster. And faith is like a muscle. You have to exercise it. You have to put it into practice. And God wants you to know today that the same way that he allowed Peter to operate in the supernatural, He can operate in your life in the supernatural. He can take that situation of cancer, and He can take what doctors may have said is a situation that is impossible, a situation of AIDS, a situation of drug addiction, a situation of mental illness. It's not impossible for God, because where men begin, where men end, God is just beginning. What is impossible for man is not impossible for God. And God wants you to know today, there is hope in your situation. All you have to do is trust Him. All you have to do is know that God is real and that He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And it's because we can adopt not fear, but the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the power of the Holy Spirit that will break the yoke. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will bring healing. It is the manifested power and glory of the Holy Spirit that will change your situation. But you have to do one thing. God says you have to believe. You have to believe that He can do it. With the woman with the issue of the blood, He said to her, "It is your faith that has made you well. It is your faith that has made you well." And God is saying today that if you believe Him, if you really believe Him, He can take that situation and He can turn it around. I want to encourage you today, put your hope in Christ. Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that what the wicked dread will overtake them. We could choose to live in fear, or we could put our trust in God. But when we live in fear, the Bible says that those things get manifested. There is power in fear. The same way that there's power in faith to do something, fear has power as well. And fear can bring about things in our life that we don't want them to. This is why you have someone who says over and over again, "I think I have cancer. I think I have cancer. I think I have cancer." And then they get cancer. We have to be careful with our words. The Bible says that we were created in God's image. That there is power and life in our words. And that what we speak, we are like God. That He spoke and created the world with His words, and our words have life, and our words have faith, and we can produce faith that is for God's glory and healing and good things, or we can produce faith that's negative and that's fearful and that will bring about things that are not good for our life. I want to take a moment, and I want to pray for someone out there, someone who's listening to this message. And again, I say it, this is a divine appointment. And perhaps you're listening to this message for the first time. Perhaps you don't have a relationship with Christ. Perhaps this is the first time you've heard of Christian broadcast. I'm here to tell you, it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And God is concerned about you. That's why you're listening to this program. This is why God has you in His heart. That's why God gave me this message. It's for you. And you can invite Christ into your heart right now. This isn't about anything between a church or you. It's not about you joining any specific church. It's about you beginning and cultivating a personal relationship with God Almighty. And right now where you are, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to just pray this prayer with me. Father God, I humble myself right now. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I invite You into my life. to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. And I ask that you would take full control over everything that's happening in my life. Take control of this addiction. Take control of this sickness. Take control of this mental illness. Take control of my backslidden children. Take control of my abusive husband. Take control of everything that is happening in my life and align it with your word. I pray that you would lead me and that I would come to know you in an intimate and in a personal way. And if you prayed that prayer sincerely, then you can say, I'm saved. You can say, Christ has come into my heart. And I encourage you, find a church. Pray to God. Pray to God to take you, not just to any church, to the right church. To the church that He wants you to go to. The church that where you will be planted and where you will be nurtured and where you will be encouraged to be everything that God has called you to be, because there is a hope and a future for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a hope and a future for your life. And God wants you to know that He loves you with an unending love. He sent His Son to die for you. He loves you. And I pray, Father God, for my friend right now who accepted you. I pray that you would send angels to encamp around him or her. I pray, Father God, that you would minister to this person in the place of their need, and that you would show them, for they are tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, and that you would meet them at the place of their need. Father, I pray that you would direct them to the right church, that you would take them to a place where they would be nurtured and they would grow into everything that you want them to be. And if you don't have a home church and you would like to come and fellowship at our church, we're at the World Harvest Community Center at 6324 7th Avenue, where everyone is welcome and no one is a stranger. We welcome you, and we wait there to take this journey together and grow in Christ together and be a family in Christ. I'm proud of you. I love you. And I pray that you would just continue to just walk in His purposes for your life and discover your divine design. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to leave you with the scripture, Psalm 91. The Bible reads, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God, in whom I trust. And He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him." Keep that verse in your heart. Psalm 91, verse 1 through 16. My sister's going to read it in Spanish.
Aleluya. Salmo 91 dice así: El que habita al abrigo del Altísimo morará bajo la sombra del Omnipotente. Diré yo a Jehová, esperanza mía y castillo mío, mi Dios en quien confiaré. Él te liberará del lazo del cazador, de la peste destructora. Con sus plumas te cubrirá y debajo de sus alas estarás seguro. Escudo y adarga es su verdad. No temerás el terror nocturno, ni saeta que vuele de día, ni pestilencia que ande en oscuridad, ni mortandad que en medio del día destruya. Caerán a tu lado 1,000 y 10,000 a tu diestra, mas a ti no llegará. Ciertamente con tus ojos mirarás y verás la recompensa de los impíos, porque has puesto a Jehová, que es mi esperanza, al Altísimo por tu habitación. no te sobrevendrá mal, ni plaga tocará tu morada. Aleluya. Pues a sus ángeles mandará cerca de ti, que te guarden en todos tus caminos. En las manos te llevarán, para que tu pie no tropiece en piedra. Sobre el león y el áspid pisarás, hollarás al cachorro del león y al dragón. Por cuanto en mí ha puesto su amor, yo también lo libraré. Le pondré en alto, por cuanto ha conocido mi nombre. Me invocará y yo le responderé. Escuche bien, me invocará y yo le responderé. Con él estaré yo en la angustia. Lo libraré y le glorificaré. Lo saciaré de larga vida y le mostraré mi salvación. Aleluya.
Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the souls that have heard this message, that were edified by it, Lord.
Gracias, Señor, por todito. Aquí, su hermana Judy Sánchez otra vez, mi esposo Alberto Sánchez, y le doy gracias al evangelista Wilson Ramos, aleluya, para la gloria de Dios. Hasta el próximo jueves a la misma hora, a las 6:30. Dios les bendiga mucho, grandemente. Estamos aquí para servirle. Si desea llamar, los teléfonos, vamos a estar a la parte de atrás, en la cabina, a la parte de atrás, tomando llamadas. No sienta temor, llame en confianza, que nosotros somos sus hermanos, estamos aquí para ayudarle y servirle.
Amen.
Hasta la próxima, les amamos mucho en el amor de Cristo. Les amamos en el amor de Cristo. Amén. Bendiciones y abrazos. Amén.
Amén.
Aleluya.